If you have your Bible tonight, turn with me to Ephesians 5. I've preached from this particular verse a number of times. I know that I've referenced it many more times than what I've actually preached from it. I've only preached from this verse, I think, only once since I've been here, but it's going to be tonight much different than what I did before. There's a couple of words that's becoming more popular. I'm hearing them more often. I'm seeing them more often. There's articles being written. There's books being written. We're seeing it more and more often. The words are authentic Christianity. If you Google those two words, you'll come up with a number of names that are represented or associated with those. Ray Stedman was the first one that came up for me. But you'll find a number of others. Ron Edmondson, Tim Keller, Richard Stearns, Martin Lloyd-Jones. There's a book that's been compiled of John Stott's writings that has been listed under the heading or under the title Authentic Christianity. Authentic Christianity is becoming a subject of importance, a subject that many speakers, preachers, teachers are looking at. I don't suppose that we have to go through too much debate tonight to figure out why it would become a popular theme in this day. Why it would become so popular in this age. Probably wouldn't take too much time in the way of debating before we could come to a consensus that authentic Christianity is a different breed from basic or common Christianity. Not that there should be a difference, but that there is. Because in our world, perhaps it's always been this way, but at least we see it, and I would feel like it's more pronounced in our world that many people are Christians, or they profess to be Christian. They would call themselves Christian. If they were to take a questionnaire and the question would be, are you Christian or pagan, they would say they're Christian. Very few people would admit or check off that they are pagan. You could word that to be a little less likely to trigger that kind of a response. I know that questions can be worded in such a way to trigger a desired response or to trigger a desired outcome. But we live in a world, we live in a generation where many people call themselves Christians without any change in their life. That Christianity is only a word that is used or a label that is put on, a stamp that has been given without ever any change that takes place. I know that some are concerned about the expression that we have used, that we use mainly during children's services, of children inviting Jesus into their heart as though that's just a simple measure and forgetting about the change that takes place. I really don't want to lose the aspect of teaching our children to invite him into their heart or into their life, but I can understand why people object to it. Authentic Christianity. We can look in Ephesians chapter 5, and you'll find that these words are telling us about authentic Christianity. I don't know where to begin this evening, because you look at chapter 5 and it could all be read. And if I were to read the entire chapter, it would take us a little bit of time, and you might get a little antsy by the time I got done preaching then. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. He starts off the chapter with authentic Christianity, as though it's a vital part of Christianity. Now, you've heard me say that I sometimes, many times, disagree with the chapter divisions and the verse divisions, although I like having the reference points that they make. I believe it's good to have reference points. You see, reference points goes along with authentic Christianity as well. That's why I use those words in relationship to the passages of Scripture here. It's nice to have those reference points. If you look at chapter 5, it's talking about authentic Christianity. But if you look at this and think that chapter 5 changeover here, that the division between 4 and 5, it might not ought to be done, you can look at it and realize that, you know, suppose that it shouldn't be there, that there shouldn't be a chapter break, because chapter 4 is speaking about authentic Christianity. So where can we start to develop the text? If so be that ye have heard of him, and verse 21 of chapter 4, well, you know, that's just cutting into the thought of authentic Christianity. We can go all the way back here to verse number 2 or 1, 3. All these verses here in chapter 4 speak about authentic Christianity. But let's look at one verse tonight. We could look at verse 15 of chapter 5. See then that ye walk circumspectly. Authentic Christians. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but, can I paraphrase that? But instead find out what the will of God is for you to do. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Now, I don't suppose that there's too many, if any, that's hearing my voice tonight, that verse causes a whole lot of alarm for. That portion of the verse doesn't change any of our lives at this point. It doesn't affect us, although it does affect some. Wherein is excess? Speaking about drinking, taking the excess of drink. I don't want to get caught with that, but I do want us to get caught with the last phrase. But be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. Somebody said that in the book, Paul, in the back of Paul's mind, the thoughts that he was having may have been thoughts of a drunken and a debauched ecstasy of some mysterious religion. That drunken and debauchery that would come from an excessive amount of, or induced by the alcoholic beverages. And you can find that in that verse that Paul's warning against that. For a Christian, really a Christian ought to maintain a clarity of mind. Should not be impairing our mind. But he also very strongly emphasizes in that verse that the daily experiences of a Christian must be that of being filled with the Spirit. Now, we are told that this verb filled is a present imperative, and it could be translated that this is a continually being filled, a continual filling of the Holy Spirit or of the Spirit. If we take it that way, and I believe that we can, I believe that we should take it that way, that it's a continual infilling. But as we look at it, then it would stand to reason for us tonight in this context that if we are going to be continually filled, that there must be a particular time when the vessel, first of all, becomes filled. Some given point in time, the vessel has become full. I don't believe that Paul is calling his readers to the experience of being filled initially, being sanctified wholly. I don't believe that he's calling his readers, his hearers, to be receiving of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but he is referring to his readers the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, or the subsequent life that the fullness of the Spirit would represent in a person's heart, keeping it full moment by moment. An example is given of that necessity in the book of Acts chapter 4. You might want to turn to it if you want to follow along in that reading, in that portion. But it's a very real aspect. It's a very vital aspect. I thought about it, but I didn't do it because I figured that it may not represent exactly what we're trying to say, but I thought about having a container of water in here from Wednesday. I suppose that if I were to have a clear container of water with an open mouth, an open top to it, that from Wednesday today, that there would be a noticeable amount of evaporation take place. Well, so what's going on? Well, in Acts chapter 4, verse number 23, these people, these apostles, were being let go, and they went to their own company. They reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Here they had spent time in prison. They were preaching Christ. They were preaching Christ crucified and resurrected, and it caused a stir. They were thrown in prison, and they got out of prison. And what would happen to you if you were in those shoes? They went to their company, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of the servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And on down through here we'll find them praying and seeking. And verse 28, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Here they come to the core of their issue. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. We could probably get a lot of preaching out of those verses, but I want us to notice this evening that they had an evaporation taking place in their spiritual life. There was a battle raging. There was something going on, and they were perhaps at least in a measure of discouragement by what was happening, but they went to prayer, and through prayer and seeking God, they had a filling of His Holy Spirit to restore and renew the power that they so desperately needed to do what God wanted them to do. What that would represent for you and I is that there are times when we get a little weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing is what the scripture was said. But in reality, many times we get a little weary. But the scripture also tells us that we should not faint, because there is a good end if we continue authentic Christianity. Infilling, a continual infilling. And as we look at this with seriousness and honesty, we would conclude that this passage of Scripture here of being filled with the Spirit is not only a tender command, but it's also a simple explanation of the will of God. Simply an explanation of the will of God. If it's the will of God to be filled with the Spirit, Should not it be a part of every believer's life to desire to have that infilling? To desire to have this Spirit-filled life? Should not it be a part, a desire of a person's life to live authentic Christianity? Isn't it a reality where Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that a person who is really a follower of Jesus Christ, a really serving God, really an authentic Christian, that a part of their life, he said, is that they would hunger and thirst for righteousness? Authentic Christianity. Someone might say, well, it's just not for me. It's just not for me. Well, Jesus answers that question very clearly, very, very plainly in John chapter 11, Luke chapter 11. If a son shall ask of any of you that is a father, will he ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. He answers that question. He debunks that myth right here in this passage. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Now that asking is... It might not just simply be a one-time ask. But that asking is going to be an aspect of the person's life. It's going to be a facet of the person's life. That asking is going to be punctuated by a desire that is expressed not only in a one-time verbal expression, but also expressed in a daily expression of hungering and desiring and to have what God has for them. God is very willing to fill each follower, each Christian, with his Holy Spirit. Jesus prayed about it in John chapter 14. He said concerning this Spirit of truth, that the one that the world doesn't know, but ye know him, and he dwells with you, and he will be in you. Jesus was praying for his followers to experience the fullness of this comforter, this paraclete, this helper, this guide that would yet come and did, has come. The bottom line is simply, and though people will not accept it, they will not receive it, but the bottom line to a person not being filled, a Christian, professing Christian, not being filled with the Spirit comes back to they don't want to be filled. You can disagree with that if you want to, but Jesus very clearly said, how much more does your heavenly Father want to give the Holy Spirit? It's not a carrot being dangled out there somewhere in the future, off in the distance. Let's see how many times we can get him to jump, how many times we can get him to dance around, how many times we can get him to do something crazy before we begin to give him the carrot. No, Jesus is saying, if we as humanity know how to give good gifts as fathers, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be filled then with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to live an authentic Christian life? How does this relate to us? In order for us to live the authentic Christian life, to be authentic Christians, in order for us to live authentic Christianity, it means that we must be emptied of self. In some circles, that's hard language. In some religious realms, that's offensive language. But Jesus, again, we could spend a lot of time here tonight talking, reinforcing this very aspect, because Jesus said that we are to deny ourselves. We are to take up the cross and follow Jesus. That if we are not willing to deny ourselves, then He will deny us. To be filled with the Spirit, to be living an authentic Christian life, means that we have been emptied of self. Emptied of self would mean that we have a void within of the worldly spirit. Because that void of the worldly spirit that was once there, once it becomes a void, then we can have the filling of His Spirit. But He cannot fill us while that area is filled with a worldly spirit. People can pray all that they want to for the infilling, but if they have not gotten, they have not arrived at the bottom of themselves, reached the point of themselves being completely surrendered. And again, so many times people arrive at a place where they feel like they've done everything, but they are holding themselves, and they will come up with the age-old thing and say, well, it's just not for me. So many times we say it as well, that I don't know what else to do. Sometimes we would get to the point where we express how good of a person that I am. Again, we come back to this Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said in Matthew 5 that we are to hunger and to thirst. That's not just an expression of words. That's an expression of the life. A facet of authentic Christianity. Hungering and thirsting. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks and tells us that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Without the full surrender of self, without the giving up of self, it's easy. It's far too easy to drift. It's far too easy to drift in the current. I was reading a little story from the Rauschenbergers in Haiti. They hired somebody to take them out to an island somewhere, and they were going to have a little bit of family time out on an island and do a little snorkeling and stuff as a family. And on their way back, this hired man in the boat, this hired rower, got caught up in a current. I guess it was unseen. It was invisible. They didn't know it was there. But as the winds were blowing and the water was moving, they got caught up in the current. And no matter how hard he rowed, he could not get out of it. I guess they spent a few hours. It seems like they said there was a few hours that they were stuck out there, to the point that the rower, the hired rower, got tired and he was no longer able to row. So Brian Rauschenberger had to take the oars. Well, that's a little tough, isn't it? You pay somebody else to do the job and you have to do it yourself after all. But it took a long time to get out of the current, to get out of that thing that was pushing them in a direction that they did not want to go. And as you can see, you can realize, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that had they given up the effort of rowing, if they had removed the power behind the oars, they would have begun to drift along with wherever that current was to take them. Without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, without the surrender of self, it's easy, it's far too easy for us to drift along, because we within ourselves must understand we do not have the power to row against the current. Oh, you can for a little while. You might be able to make it for a short period of time. But it's only through the power or the infilling of the Holy Spirit can we withstand in the evil day. Emptied of self. emptied of myself. I said it this morning. You'll probably hear me say it more. You might hear me say it so much you'll get tired of it. But the battle will be fought wherever the lines are drawn. So, well, how does that relate to this message? It does relate because we're talking about authentic Christianity. The battles will be fought. The battle will be fought wherever the lines are drawn. You say, well, why is that? Why? How can that be a reality? It's because the line that has been drawn inhibits, prohibits movement. The lines that have been drawn will create a restraint, and a restraint is only tolerated for a time. Restraints are only tolerated for a time if they are not entirely, fully, wholeheartedly accepted. If those restraints are not fully accepted, they begin eventually to wear some sores. They begin to wear some blisters. And those sores and blisters begin to develop fast enough, soon enough, if we are not completely, wholeheartedly accepting of the restraints. I might add that sometimes in holy endeavor, the restraints that have been given by man are ordained by God. I'm not saying that it's ordained scripture. I'm not saying that additional rules are necessary as scripture, but I am saying that sometimes there's some additional requirements or there's some additional restraints that must be realized for us. Because it's authentic Christianity that we're talking about. Wholehearted acceptance. Without that wholehearted acceptance, we find ourselves drifting along, and we will cross lines of scriptural restraint. Because as the drift continues, as the drift increases, we will find ourselves across that line. Authentic Christianity means authentic Christians. Authentic Christians means a realization that I am not my own, but I've been bought with a price. Therefore, it is of my reasonable service, or it's reasonable to me, to do everything, that every facet of my life is done to God's glory. Obey His word. Oh, that includes obeying His bold-faced commands. We all understand that. But it also includes obeying His tender commands. Authentic Christianity means that we are emptied of self. I surrender all. It is no longer I, but Christ that dwelleth within me. It also means then, as we are emptied of self, that we are led of the Spirit. We are led of the Spirit. That the words of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane become our spoken and unspoken motto. Thy will be done, not mine. Thy will be done, not mine. Filled with His Spirit. Authentic Christianity means that we are emptied of self and we are led by His Spirit. Being led by His Spirit means that we will also then, or we must also then, be ready to suffer for Christ's sake. That's authentic Christianity. That's not Christianity in our day, in general terms. Because in general terms, Christianity avoids suffering. In general terms, Christianity avoids the cross. In general terms, Christianity is becoming more and more a bloodless religion. You'll find that there's many praise choruses that can lift us up, but they are emotional praise choruses that never reference the blood. We are losing, in the general terms of Christianity, the blood, because the blood indicates some suffering. It's offensive. The cross is offensive. If we are to be authentic Christians, we will be emptied of self, we will be led by His Spirit, and we will be ready to suffer for Christ's sake, not the way that Peter said it. Yes, Lord, I will die with you. If we were to take a random interview with any number of people tonight that's seated here or listening, would we all say that? Lord, I'm ready to die with you or die for you. If it gets to the point where I have a gun pointed to my head and say, if you renounce Christ, you live, and if you continue to accept Christ, you die, I'm willing to die for your name. Well, yes, it may be a little difficult, but the end answer is still, it's there, it's ready. We may be praying quickly, Lord, take care of my family or take care of this and please meet, you know what's going on. But while we say with Peter that I'm willing to go to the death with you, we have a little bit of a struggle sometimes of this identifying with him, just simply identifying with him. I'll die for you, I just don't want to identify with you. Isn't that what Peter was doing? I'm going to die with you. I don't want to be identified with you right now, though. There are times, being a Christian, an authentic Christian, that there is a reproach to being a Christian. Sometimes there's a reproach. Sometimes we have to suffer. Lord, I'm willing to die for you. I just don't want to have to deal with carrying the cross. I don't want to have to do any suffering. I don't want to have to carry any distinction. I don't want to have to be different. I don't want to have to be left out. And that kind of an attitude begins a drift in a person's life, because that it leads to one thing after another where we no longer want to identify with authentic Christianity, but we want to identify with the culture. Authentic Christianity. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If we are filled with the Spirit, what does that mean? It means that we have been emptied of self, that we are led by His Spirit, that we are willing, that we are willing to carry His cross, that we are willing to bear a reproach for His name's sake. Authentic Christians, be filled with the Spirit. Did you look at the cup, the container of your soul this evening? Has any evaporation taken place? Do you need a refilling of His Spirit? Do you need an additional touch of His Spirit? Do you need that measure of evaporation to be restored, that fullness experienced? That is walking as a Christian. being filled continually with His Spirit. Let's stand together tonight. What's the container of your life, your spiritual life, look like? Do you need to seek Him tonight? Do you need to have a filling tonight? It's a good time to have that filling. Come and pray. Authentic Christians need to maintain that spiritual filling. Let's keep it full. Anybody need to pray before we go? Lord bless you. Give you a good week this week. We're willing to see you on Wednesday. Sister Amy, would you dismiss us in prayer?